From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kessel, and here's your host, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Now, this last year will be remembered as the greatest in the history of entertainment. We spent our days scanning the internet, our evenings staring at the TV, entranced by the most irresistible soap opera ever conceived, the 2008 presidential election. Now that it's all over, we thought we'd spend an hour reviewing the highlights.
But first, let's spare a moment for the man whose job everybody was fighting for, President Bush.
Wait, Wait was there at the very beginning, covering the Florida recount in November of 2000, when the world was introduced to a bestiary of strange new creatures and their odd reproductive habits.
Pregnancy does not count in Palm Beach County. Only penetration.
Got to be referring to the Chad.
Oh, yes, it is.
They're either out or they're in.
We are talking about the Chads. That was Bruce Rogo, attorney for the Palm Beach County election supervisor. And he, of course, was talking about the now infamous Chads. A Chad, as every child in the nation now knows, is the little square of cardboard you punch out of a ballot. A hanging Chad is a Chad that remains attached to the card by one corner. A swinging door Chad has two corners attached. A tri-Chad has three. And, of course, the pregnant Chad, which, as we heard, does not count in Palm Beach County, simply bulges.
Peter, I have a little song here about Chads.
I came into the Baltimore train station and saw a young man getting off another train, and a man who looked a lot like a Florida election official came running up to him, waving a piece of paper at him, which looked like a ballot with little things hanging off it. And there was a little operetta right there. The election official sang, "Pardon me, boy, is this the Chad for who you do choose? Or did you vote for Bush, Buchanan, and Gore? Twixt W and Al, with all these Chads, or is it voodoo? We try to decide, but they're just fit to be tied. You left the Palm Beach County station at 3:45. Now I finally found you and you're in Baltimore. Is this, and keep it simple, a vote or just a dimple? Or do you choose Bush and Buchanan and Gore?"
President Bush's most lasting legacy will be, of course, the invasion of Iraq. Most people still can't understand quite what happened or why. And sometimes it seems neither could the president. Here we are in September of 2004.
Now, I'm not the expert on how the Iraqi people think, because I live in America, where it's nice and safe and secure.
That was someone admitting he didn't really know how the Iraqis felt, but he still insists they're all really happy with how things are going there. Who admits that he is not an expert
on
Iraqi
feelings?
Oh, that's Dick Cheney. No, not quite.
Oh.
No, that's not... somebody who works for him. I'm sorry. Not technically true. Not technically true.
Okay. George Bush.
It was. In a joint press conference this week, Mr. Bush, of course, was asked about the feelings of the Iraqis. He, as you heard, deferred to the opinion of his hand-picked Iraqi Prime Minister, Mr. Alawi, who was standing next to him. Mr. Alawi said, "You bet, Iraqis are very happy."
I'd hate to see them unhappy.
Yeah. We also, of course, spent some time talking about the vice president, whose role in the White House was always a little, shall we say, unclear. This is from June of 2007.
"I will oppose any attempt to allow him to play in the congressional baseball game. He would remake the rules to his liking."
That was Illinois Representative Democrat Rahm Emanuel, as quoted in the Washington Post. It was part of a barrage of criticism aimed at a senior administration official this week who was accused of making up his own rules. Who?
That would be the angler, Dick Cheney.
Exactly, Dick Cheney. You even know his Secret Service code name, Angler. Very good. Late last week, it was revealed that the vice president did not believe he was subject to rules governing the executive branch because he is not actually part of the executive branch. Instead, his lawyer said, Cheney is part of the lesser-known
Crypt Keeper branch, which is charged by the Constitution with the tasks of guarding the undead and making energy policy. Now, this interesting brouhaha came at the same time that the Washington Post published an expose which showed that Cheney is not only part of the executive branch, but he is basically running it. The series, though, and to be fair, it finally did debunk the notion that President Bush is merely Cheney's ventriloquist's dummy, because dummies occasionally argue with the ventriloquist.
Oh. Wow. Oh. There is a clear regulation that the vice president is allowed to make rules.
Yeah, it is?
Yeah, Cheney wrote it.
Far be it for us to sum up the presidency of George W. Bush. We defer to the man himself, as we did in May of 2006.
Adam, when asked to name the highlight of their presidencies, Jimmy Carter said it was the Camp David peace accords. Bill Clinton said it was ending the war in the Balkans. Well, in an interview just this week with a German magazine, President Bush was asked to name the highlight of his presidency. He thought about it and then answered, what?
I'm president? Wow, I should throw me a party or something. No. He said that it was catching a 7.5-pound perch in his own lake.
That's true. What it was.
Yeah. And I'd like to defend the president on this. Okay. I think he was right.
He was asked about the best moment of his presidency, and he said, I quote, "You know, I've experienced many great moments, and it's hard to name the best. I would say the best moment of all was when I caught a 7.5-pound perch in my lake," unquote.
Before he caught the perch, he tried diplomacy.
And he said,
he gave it a chance.
I know. He said, "But what was I supposed to do? Trust the word of a mad fish?"
A big mission accomplished sign over the lake. Boy, that aircraft carrier barely fit in that lake, did it?
It was supposed to say fishing accomplished.
Yeah. Now, over the years, we featured three of George Bush's press secretaries on our show, the late Tony Snow, the regretful Scott McClellan, and finally Dana Perino. She appeared in our show during the TV writer's strike in late 2007, and that might explain what then happened.
And here she is, talking about what it was like to be a relative youngster in the White House.
I had a situation the other day when they said President Putin thought that our missile defense program was like the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so I got asked about the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I was panicked a bit because I really know about nothing about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
It was just last week.
It had to do with Cuba and missiles.
Yes, it had to do. It did, in fact, have to do with Cuba and missiles, Dana.
Yeah, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
Really? I have to go Google this.
It's a tropical drink. You should try it on spring break.
Well, it is true.
Well, I came home and I asked my husband.
Yeah.
I said, "Wasn't that like the Bay of Pigs thing?" And he said, "Oh, Dana."
Well, people just went nuts. Anderson Cooper on CNN devoted two nights to this scandal. And here's the scourge of all that is wrong in this world, Keith Olbermann of MSNBC.
And thus a new refrain for the last throes of the Bush administration has been born. Oh, Dana. The same Dana Perino, by the way, who was recently described as by Bush's brain, Karl Rove, as having, quote, a really sharp mind, fine judgment, and being, quote, one of the most talented professionals I've ever seen, one of our great American treasures.
So, joining us now to discuss what really has become the second Cuban Missile Crisis, if you will, is White House spokeswoman Dana Perino. Dana, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first question is, you really do know what the Cuban Missile Crisis was, don't you?
Right? Yes, I do. In fact, one of the things that I realized is that your listeners really can't take a joke.
Apparently not. I've been struggling with that problem for a decade now, Dana. It's terrible.
Apparently you were funnier than I was.
Well, no, I think you were better at it. Because
but it's not like I could see. I said that I could see Cuba from my house or anything.
No. Then they would have known, obviously,
you were
joking.
They took it all out of
context. You think so? Well, as you know, what happened was is you made that, to my mind, a charmingly self-deprecating joke on our show. And the cable news networks went berserk. You were, in fact, asked about it at a subsequent White House press briefing, were you not?
I think so. And, in fact, not only that, but I had all of these people who have written books and fancy themselves as experts on the Cuban Missile Crisis sending me all of their information, material, sending me signed copies of their books. So now there's nothing I don't know about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Did this bizarre incident teach you anything about the news environment in which you work, or are you just used to it and I'm not?
Oh, well, absolutely. I think that it taught me that there are several cable news anchors who take themselves way too seriously.
You think?
I think that's true, but they won't have me to kick around anymore in just a few weeks.
Dana Perino, of course, has been the spokeswoman for the White House, the President George W. Bush. Dana, thank you so much for everything you've done for us and for being on our show.
Good luck in the coming years.
You too. We'll talk soon.
Bye.